remove cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $7.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming at you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone for the next hour. Pastor Billy Crone is with Niagara Frontier Bible Church up there in Niagara, New York, and certainly he used to be here in California. That's where we first got in touch with him, but now he's back there. But he's done a great job with a film series. We call it he calls it The Final Countdown. And we've already done, I think, what are we down to, about number three now, Billy? Where do we stand?
Are
we on two?
Getting into number three.
All right, fine. Well, you just pick up the story on the final countdown. Go right ahead.
Well, the final countdown, of course, the premise is we just wanted to reveal to people, you know, nothing that we're making up. It's recorded in the scripture a long time ago, that God gave us a clear warning sign when we would know we were in the last days, and you better wake up and you better get ready and you better get right with God, because he loves us and he cares for us and he gives us a heads up. And the irony is, you know, people are looking all over the planet. They're looking through the SETI program and going to the edge of the universe looking for some alien life form and all this, some secret knowledge maybe here on Earth that some archaeologist hasn't discovered, some ancient knowledge. And the irony is, it's right before us, before our very eyes, right under our noses. It's called the Bible. And yet, hardly anybody picks it up, let alone study Bible prophecy. And that's the only way that you will understand the days that we're living in. We're fast approaching the last days, and none of this stuff is going to make sense. As we talked before, it's like trying to put a massive 2,000-piece puzzle together without the cover of the box. How in the world do you start on that? And yet, so that's what we did the final countdown, is we're giving you the cover to the box. And once you begin to look at these 10 different signs from the Bible, everything that you see in the world that makes no sense will start to make sense. And we've already dealt with the Jewish people, modern technology, worldwide upheaval, the rise of falsehood, the rise of wickedness, the rise of apostasy, and the one world religion. I want to deal with a little bit tonight and then get on to the next one world government. And the Bible is very clear in the book of Revelation chapter 13, speaking about the Antichrist, and it brings out three different aspects in that chapter, that there is going to be a one world religion, there's going to be a worldwide worship of the Antichrist. There's going to be a worldwide government or authority of the Antichrist. And there's going to be a worldwide economy of the Antichrist tied in with the mark of the beast. But it's very clear, it says in Revelation 13, that all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast or the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. And so it's very clear that there's going to come a time where this Antichrist person is going to seduce the world into creating a one-world religion that is satanically inspired. In fact, then there's going to come a moment in time, halfway into the seven-year tribulation, that he's going to declare, oh, all you religions, by the way, now you worship me. He will go into the rebuilt Jewish temple, which is happening today, and he will declare himself to be God. And that's when things really get bad. You thought the first half was bad, you ain't seen nothing till you encountered the second half. So we played the role of the Antichrist, if you will, and said, well, how in the world is one person going to get control of all the world's religions? Well, we've already dealt with, you got to get, first of all, rid of any sense of right and wrong, and that's what we've seen with the birth of relativism. But two, then you got to get rid of any of those people who won't go along, and we've seen the rise of Christian persecution, which is exactly what Jesus said would happen. The whole world, okay, not just a section, but the whole world will hate you because of me. And number three, you got to get busy promoting the wrong. And that's where I want to pick up. We've already dealt with how are they doing this, how are they duping churches, how are they duping people, how are they duping the whole world into trying to say that all religions are basically the same. Well, we saw before that they're already doing it with personalities. It could be like Ted Turner, Al Gore, we got Oprah, we've got former presidents, we've got the current presidents, we got Tony Blair, you got all kinds of people all over the world. You got the Pope. You got
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is a pastor, Billy Crone, of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. We're talking about the final countdown, the importance of the signs of the times and understanding of the prophecies that were written thousands of years ago that prophesied a time such as this. So much of what's going on in the world really doesn't make sense. I mean, why in heaven's name would our government be, you know, having to borrow money all the time? What would be giving money to the terrorists over in Gaza at the present time, or offering, you know, money to Egypt, $3 billion a year? We have to go out and borrow $3 billion a day just to pay our bills. So much of what's going on doesn't make any logical sense unless you understand there is a master plan behind this. And it may not only make sense to you at the present time, but once you understand the master plan, everything begins putting into place, because there is a plan. It is being enacted today, and Pastor Crone is doing a great job with his final countdown. And we're talking about, well, what are we going to talk about today? The move towards world government, or the move towards world religion?
Well, a little bit of the one world religion, just to finish that off, and then, yes, into the sign of the one world government.
Then you go right ahead.
Well, you know what, the one world religion, the last thing I want to just leave the people with is how in the world are they pulling this off, and we've already seen that they're doing it through various personalities. They're even doing it through paganism, because, again, the whole premise for ingesting some of these things, giving up freedom, even, quote, religious freedom, is the same principle they've been using all along throughout history, and that is you create a crisis, then you can manage the outcome. And so what they've done with the environmental movement when it comes to creating this one world religion is they created an earth-shattering, if you will, crisis, a global crisis, in that with, you know, supposed global warming, which is a bunch of baloney. But they're using that as a platform to all of the religions in the world have to work together, have to find some common ground and work together, otherwise the planet's going to blow up and the gloom and doom, et cetera, et cetera. But this, what I just want a couple things that people need to realize. You might think, hey, that's fine and dandy, but man, that's never going to come to you know, the American church or just Christianity. No way are people going to fall for it. Well, folks, it's already happening. I just want to deal with a couple things tonight. It's happening from pulpits. It's coming from personalities, paganisms, and yes, pulpits. Now, what they're doing, the way that they've, it's a bait and switch, and how they've confused many churches and Christians, is they've taken Christian terms and they've switched the terminology. For instance, what used to be a Christian term, for instance, like reverend, now anybody can be a reverend. You can be a New Age person and have the title of a reverend. Doesn't mean you're Christian at all. But people kind of assume that, okay? They've taken the word faith, which is a Christian term, and they've used it to apply to just about anything. It's become a generic term. Faith, faith in what? Faith.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Pastor Crone is talking about how they take terms and they change their meaning. They talk about having faith. Everybody should have faith, but faith in what? And you picked the story up there.
Well, that's just it. Faith in what? Faith in yourself? Faith in a chair? Faith in your finger? Faith in your neighbor? Or faith in the chicken god of Mars? Faith in what? It means nothing nowadays. They've done the same thing with the term God. God, which God? What God? I remember there was the big fervor with the Pledge of Allegiance, and aha, like that was some sort of a big victory that we can keep under God. And it's like, excuse me? That's no victory. They didn't say Jesus Christ. They didn't say the Judeo-Christian God, as mentioned in the Old and New Testament. God's a generic term. It can mean anything. And then the classic one that they're getting people to actually intermingle with different religions is prayer. They've taken prayer and they assume that's synonymous with Eastern mysticism and Hinduism and Buddhism with the practice of meditation. Meditation is an emptying of your mind. You think about nothing. You try to empty yourself. Biblical prayer is you use your mind. You're actually talking to somebody. You're talking to the creator of the universe. You have a direct personal relationship with him, the Father, through Jesus Christ. That's a mind-blower. It sounds like science fiction, but it's biblical fact. That's diametrically opposed. But they're switching these terms, they're blending them all together, and they're using them from the pulpits to confuse people, not just confuse people and teach false teaching, but they're using it to gather people around and create this one world religion. Let me give you a couple examples, and we'll move on to one world government. This reverend, again, it's supposed to be a Christian term, but this is not a Christian reverend, but this Reverend Swift said that at their church, hey, it's meant for people whose beliefs don't match what is usually taught in traditional churches or other houses of worship. They say that the people at this church believe that followers of different religions worship the same God. They say, quote, we believe Jesus spoke the word of God, but we don't believe he was the only way to God. Well, how could you give this purveyance that you're somehow a Christian, Reverend? Yet Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. How could you say that? That's hypocrisy. But they continue on. They say that God is described as the creative loving force and energy behind everything in the universe. And at this church, hey, they don't believe in hell or that God punishes people. Well, then why in the world did Jesus go to the cross? Why did he die there? If he only had to do part of the work, why didn't he just get beat up or something? What did he save us from? We use the term salvation. You need to get saved. Saved from what? Saved from a mediocre existence, a bad life, a rotten economy? Saved from what? The scripture is clear. Saved from eternal damnation in hell. Okay, it's not a popular message, but praise God, God provided a way out. But then they say, hey, Buddhist or Catholic, rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight, hey, you're welcome here. And they freely admit, listen to this, this, quote, reverend, admits that their ideas come from, not the Bible, no way, but from such people, this is a direct quote, Oprah Winfrey and Deepak Chopra. Excuse me? And they believe that one of their goals, their stated goal, is to begin holding monthly interfaith services. And that word interfaith is another code word, and it simply means one world religion, interfaith service that would bring together people from different religions, including people of the Jewish, the Muslim, the Hindu faith, and even the Native Americans. Okay, that's going on in, quote, supposed, they're given the purveyance that they're a church, okay? A bishop recently, he's urging Christians to call God Allah. And the reason why is he says that it would help ease tensions between Muslims and Christians, because he doesn't believe that God minds what he's called. He says the Almighty is above, quote, such discussion and bickering. And then he says, he points to Indonesia, and he says, well, God's called Allah over there, so why can't we start doing it over here? And you might be tempted to think that's just some fringe churches. But folks, what you got to understand, this is all the way, it's deep. It goes all the way into Protestant churches today. They're call this a celebration, this a worship service. They're having what's called Pluralism Sundays. They've been doing it for a while, okay, and the next one's coming up again this year. And they're called Pluralism Sundays, where Christians are gathering together to celebrate religious diversity. And they're doing it deliberately on Pentecost Sunday, which is blasphemous, actually. But Christian churches across the United States and beyond are dedicating their worship and celebration to their interfaith world. That's one world religion. Progressive Christians, that's what they call them, thank God for religious diversity. We don't claim that our religion is superior to all others. Well, again, how can you say you're a Christian, yet the word, the one who you follow, Jesus Christ, or say you follow, where you get the word Christian from, okay, how could you say that when he said he's the only way? But they say, no, our religion is not superior to others. We can grow closer to God and deeper in compassion, and we can understand our own traditions better through a greater awareness of the world's religions. Pluralism Sunday is initiated by the Center for Progressive Christianity, or Crone translation would be Apostate Christianity. It is a network of about 370 churches nationwide. Our congregations have adopted a welcome statement that affirms that other religions can be as good for their followers as Christianity is for us. And they believe that Pluralism Sunday is an opportunity for progressive churches to reach some of the many people who were turned off by Christianity because of exclusivist claims some Christians make about it. Well, listen, I didn't make that claim. Jesus did. And that's what's really ludicrous about it. But it's not just going on a local scale. It is going on a global scale. About a year and a half ago, there was the world religious leaders were meeting for a peace summit. Let me read to you a little bit of that outcome. They met in, it was an annual interfaith peace summit, and it was in Naples. And they are calling, and we're calling for a global organization uniting their faith. Okay? Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew I, Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, Israel's Chief Rabbi, Yonah Metzger, and the Imam of the United Arab Emirates, Ibrahim Ezzedine, attended the gathering. Rabbi Metzger proposed, this is a direct quote, United Nations of Religions, that would embrace the heads of religious communities that have a profound influence on their congregations. The Muslim guy, he also advocated a formal structure linking world's religions, saying that we need to form a permanent and authorized executive machinery for executing any decisions we make. And the summits, by the way, were launched 21 years ago by former Pope John Paul II. And the first one was dubbed a World Day of Prayer for Peace, and it was attended by the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa and other religious leaders. Now, I just had somebody email this to me. I believe it was a couple days ago. This is 4 days ago, folks, 4 days ago. And this person emailed this to me from Canada. And this, of course, is from the Edmonton, of course, from Canada Journal. And here he is. He's going at it again, the same chief rabbi. He advocates a UN of religions, uniting world's faithful, key to world peace. Chief Rabbi Yonah Metzger, same guy, one of the two chief rabbis of Israel, said we need to work together to create a United Nations of Religion that promotes a respect for the differences among the various religions. Since becoming chief rabbi, Metzger has actively encouraged friendly relations between various religious communities. His greatest goal is to create, quote, once again, a United Nations of Religions, which would contain representatives of the world's religions as opposed to nations. Did you get that? You have a governmental entity, much akin like a UN, to see the governments of the world. He is proposing the exact same entity and has been promoting for quite some time, and he's not alone, folks, of creating a United Nations that somebody's going to govern the religions around the world. And get this, he, and this is just 4 days ago, folks, he suggested that the Dalai Lama could lead the assembly. Now, if you know your Bible, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, I'm not going to make a prediction or anything, but it is very interesting. You see a United Nations of Religions, and you got this head guy who they're now even proposing is to be the Dalai Lama, who's going to represent all the world's religions. And if you know your Bible, and especially with the Antichrist, he's got a little a cohort that goes along with him and dupes the whole world eventually into worshiping the Antichrist, and of course that's the false prophet. Could we be seeing that unfolding before our very eyes? Folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say somebody's taking this one world religion very seriously. Okay? And just like the Bible said would happen 2,000 years ago, we were watching it unfold before our very eyes for the first time in mankind's history. That's why people need to wake up and realize that it's time to get motivated, it's time to get right with God. But that's not the only thing. The Bible is extremely replete. The Scripture is clear that we are not only headed for a time of a one world religion, but we're headed for a one-world government. The Bible clearly predicted that there's going to come a day when there's going to be a worldwide authority of the Antichrist. Back again to the book of Revelation chapter 13 says this, and I saw a beast, the Antichrist, coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The dragon gave the beast his power, that's Satan, and his throne and great authority. The whole world, it's on a global scale, folks, the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Now, clearly, folks, according to that passage of Scripture, the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago, roughly, that there's going to come a day. How do you know it's the last days? How do you know that it's time to get ready? He said, when all the inhabitants of the earth are going to be under the authority of this entity, the beast, the Antichrist himself. One day, the Bible says, the whole world will be unified in a one-world government. Now, where does the power come from? It comes from the dragon. It comes from Satan. So this one-world government is actually going to be satanically inspired. But the question, again, is this. Well, gee whiz, come on, could that really happen? Could the whole world really be deceived into creating a one-world government? If you study history, you see people who've tried to pull it off. And they pulled it off in various chunks. But nobody in man's history ever has been able to truly control the whole world. Is there any evidence that this is going to take place? Slightly. And the first way we know we are headed for a one-world government is because of what's happening before our very eyes, folks, the creation of a new world order. Now, again, let's play the role, just like with the one-world religion, the role of the Antichrist. If you're going to deceive people into creating this one-world government that eventually you're going to take control of, okay, you've got to somehow provide some sort of universal Congress, if you will, so that you can dictate a universal compliance. Okay, makes sense. And this is precisely what the United Nations and many other governmental organizations have been working towards, folks, for decades. Right now, folks, there is waiting for approval or already in place the plans for absolute, total, global control of the whole world, okay? And the tactics that they're using is the same old tactics they've been using with the other ones, folks. It's called fear and manipulation. And they know us. They know our human nature. We've been fatted up for the slaughter. We've been so conditioned, folks, that we don't give a rip who rules us. You know, as long as you can guarantee me, the economy's going to be good, throw in some sports and entertainment and a six-pack of beer, I don't care who rules me. That's the kind of people they have conditioned us to be.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Pick this story up from there.
Well, and because we've allowed them, frankly, it's our own doing, we've allowed them to condition us to be those kind of people, we don't care who rules us. And what they're doing now is now they're coming into stage two, and it's called fear and manipulation. They're threatening to take our gods away, if you will, that which we really worship. Because they know that people are more apt to surrender their freedoms, okay, in a time of fear than in a time of peace, okay? So if you continually get people in a constant state of fear, okay, then you can continually get them to do what they normally wouldn't do, and that is to compromise and compromise their freedoms one after another, okay? And that's exactly what it is. I use the phrase, you create a crisis, you can manage the outcome however you like. And that's exactly what's been happening to our country. You know, there's a whole issue with 9/11 and all that stuff, and people say, what's this and that theory, and these people did that, and I got my own theory on it, and what have you, but oftentimes I think people miss the point. My point is, you're lost on that's not the question you need to be asking. You need to be looking at what happened as a result of 9/11, okay? If you look at the results of 9/11, that became a watershed event, an excuse. You create a crisis, you can manage the outcome to pass laws that are slowly, methodically, purposely, and frankly, it's happening very quickly, our freedoms in our country, folks. That's what you need to be focused on, okay? But anyway, so what they're doing is to drum up fear. If you notice, folks, everything is a crisis, okay? Everything's a crisis. You don't have problems anymore. Everything's a crisis. We have a health care crisis. We got a child care crisis. We got what's going on right now, an economy crisis. We got a constitutional crisis. We got that nasty terrorist crisis. We've got an environmental crisis. We don't have problems. Hey, everything is a nasty crisis just waiting to explode, okay? And because they have whipped us up and manipulated us, folks, into a state of fear and all these supposed crises, and notice it's not just one, it's a whole flood of them. We have been prepped, okay, and corralled to usher in a cry for what? A universal government to fix all these crises that are seemingly out of control. Now, because notice these crises are beyond now just the United States, okay? They are global economic crisis, global environmental crisis, global terrorist crisis, okay? And so a single government can't pull it off, right? You have to have a global government, a global entity to come in and save the day. Folks, that's the tactic, and it works every time. And you might be thinking, well, hey, that's not going to work. People aren't surely that conditioned that far, are they? Well, folks, it is already in place. Think about it from a governmental standard. Every piece of government that you would need locally, okay, for a sovereign nation is now being put into place or is already in place for a truly global government. Let's just play the game. Right now, folks, there is a universal law of the land called the Earth Charter. And the Earth Charter is the new universal law being used to unite all the peoples of the world in order to save the Earth. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal law of the land, then you've got to have some sort of universal governing body, right, to oversee this law. Well, that's why right now there's a document, there's others out there. This one's called the Constitution for the Federation Earth, with plans for a world government, a world supreme court, world capitals, and a world police. Okay, and the only thing holding it up is ratification, which they're hoping is going to take place real soon. But then, if you're going to have a universal governing body, you've got to have a universal judicial system to make sure that people obey this world government, right? Well, that's right now, folks. If you haven't been paying attention, I believe it was formed in 2002, there's a world criminal court, okay? But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal judicial system, then you've got to have some sort of universal army to punish those who don't obey this world government.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone as we take it to the final countdown. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Krohn has simply been talking about this move towards world government. And of course, we have a world government. You got to have a world parliament, but we have the United Nations. And then you have to have a world police force, but we have Interpol. And then you have to have a world army, and that's what NATO is all about. Then you have to have a world court, and we got a world criminal court as well, just recently organized. And so everything is really in place, and the average person doesn't understand. This is long-term planning, and all you need is a crisis. It's got to be, though, a worldwide crisis. We've never had a crisis like the present one, where the banking system, the monetary system of the whole world is imploding. And, of course, we're finding today now the Chinese premier is talking for about a world currency to get away from the American currency. When that happens, we're no longer reserve currency. Literally trillions of dollars all throughout the world are going to come funneling back in here and destroy the value of everything you've ever worked for. And it was just within the last 48 hours they called for a new world currency. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the crisis that will result from that will impoverish the American people, and they'll be looking for an alternative. Our system has failed, and the same thing is happening throughout the world. Everything is placed. We've never had a worldwide crisis such as it exists today. Pastor Krohn, pick up the story.
Well, you think about that, Dr. Monteith, as we're talking about this stuff, and it's unfolding before our very eyes within literally days and weeks, okay, as you're mentioning. This was mentioned in the Bible 2,000 years ago. You know, and a lot of people, again, I used to be a big giant scoffer, okay, and that's why, you know, we present a lot of this information with the Final Countdown, which, by the way, is chock full of videos, folks. It isn't just reading some articles that you might be tempted to say, hey, that's from JoeSchmo.com. You're going to see these actual people with your own eyes saying this stuff, okay? And but again, we're looking at stuff that's unfolding, and I would be the first one to scoff at the Bible and accuse it of being a book whipped up by man, and that's exactly what the people want you to do. Why? Because then you won't find out what's really going on before it's too late, and that's again the heart cry that we have with providing this information. We just want to get the information out to people. You make up your own mind with it, but it's really happening. Okay, before our very eyes. That's why, you know, again, as a former skeptic, you know, the first thing I'd also say is, hey, you Christians have been harping on this for how long, and you always get it wrong, and we're not date setters. We don't set a date, but we just let you come to the logical conclusion. I don't know when is the exact day and hour of the return of Christ. He told us we wouldn't know. Okay, so don't set a date. So we don't. But he did say he can give us some signs to indicate when it's getting close. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Folks, this is happening before our very eyes. Never before in the history of mankind have we seen these things happen on such a global scale, but it's happening every single day. It's so fast, Dr. Monteith. I teach on this stuff, and I can't even keep up with it. It's going so fast. But you might be thinking, hey, come on, this is just too far out, man. This is just, once again, you wacko conspiracy theorists. There's no way these leaders of the world are serious about forming a truly one-world government. Well, folks, I'm not going to read through all of them. But do the research yourself. Henry Kissinger, in the past and even recently again, is calling for a world government, a new world order. But so is David Rockefeller. So is Strobe Talbot of Clinton's. He was deputy secretary of state. Richard Falk, Mikhail Gorbachev, Nelson Mandela, George McGovern, George Bush Sr., Madeleine Albright, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Robert Mueller, the former assistant attorney general of the UN. I'll at least read his quote. He says, we must move as quickly as possible to a one-world government, a one-world religion, under a one-world leader. Can you believe that? It's almost a direct quote from Revelation 13. These are real people, real entities, saying this stuff right now. It's time, folks, that we recognize the days in which we live in. But that's not all. See, they got it all figured out. They don't just want to grab control, the government of the world. They are going to dictate, folks, our behavior. Okay, they're going to tell us what to do, where to live, and that whole entity. It's not just they're going to govern us. They're going to tell us what we can and cannot do with our behavior. And so you think about it, that's a logical conclusion. If you're going to create a one-world government, you've got to provide some sort of universal standard for behavior. Okay, and they've already done it, folks, and they've done it again. Paganism has helped them with the environmental movement. We bought into that lie. And in order to supposedly preserve our endangered Earth, there's what they created, the World Heritage Protection Program, which has given the UN full authority over millions of acres of land, yes, even here in the United States. There's what they've been having called World Food Summits, folks, which they are going to dictate what crops we can grow, what livestock we can eat and raise, and even, in fact, what we can and cannot eat. We'll get to that hopefully in a second. But then they've created, supposedly to preserve our endangered air, land, and water supply. Of course, with the agenda for the 21st century, or Agenda 21, which will tell us what job we can get, what housing we can have, what education and health care we can get, what means of transport, how many children we can have. Okay, and then they've even gone down to dictate where you and I get to live, including the animals, with the Biodiversity Treaty and other things as well. And then they are not only going to dictate who is going to call the shots with a one-world government, they're not only going to dictate our behavior, folks, they're going to eventually dictate who gets to live and who doesn't get to live. Okay? There's called the global...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Pastor Crone, go right ahead.
Well, again, they're not just interested in creating just a global government. They're not just interested in controlling and corralling us where we can and cannot live. Folks, I'm telling you, the ultimate thing is they're going to control who gets to live and who doesn't. Now, and the reason why, and again, this doesn't make sense. You think that's absolutely ludicrous. People can't be that evil. Well, you need to understand, what did the text say? This is the Antichrist system, okay, who is going to be satanically inspired, okay, himself. And the scripture is clear. Satan not only wants to be worshipped, okay, that was his downfall, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. That's why there's a creation of the one world religion, okay, because that's what Satan wants. He wants worship, okay? But the scripture is clear that Satan is a murderer, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. So the heart of this Antichrist system is not only eventually usurping all the world's religions for worship, okay, because that's what Satan wants, it's also a murderous heart. Folks, you need to understand that these people think that they're going to create some sort of utopia on the planet. Satan has totally duped them, and some of them even know that they're working for Satan. They just somehow think that they're going to come out on top. And they think that they're going to annihilate, 90% roughly of the population of the world, and so those people who are left get to serve them. They get to be at the top of the pile, so to speak. And what they're doing is, and you think, oh, that's ludicrous, man. There's no way you keep people. Well, folks, there's a phrase out there, and Dr. Monteith, you've touched on it, taught on it many a times, with population control. And they have what's called the Global Diversity Assessment, and this is to reduce the world's population, okay? And this is exactly why, folks, you might rack your brain, why do they keep promoting birth control? Why do they keep promoting abortion, even though it's murder? Of children. Why do they keep promoting even homosexuality and feminism? And why do they keep deliberately not curing and or producing diseases? Why do they don't stop genocide? Why do they do forced sterilizations? Why? Because it all has one thing in common, folks. They reduce the population. Now, they've gotten us to buy into a lie that there's this, the earth is overcrowded, which is ridiculous. I like what one guy said, hey, if it's crowded where you are, move. There's plenty of room on the planet. But you and I, they're using that as a justification as to why we got to start getting rid of those people. Okay? And in fact, you think, oh, that's just ludicrous. There's no way these people are serious about this. Well, folks, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, called for the elimination of human weeds, and we'll get actually into more of that in a little bit. But, so, I mean, there's Jacques Cousteau said it. He said, hey, it's a terrible thing to say, but in order to stabilize the world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. He said, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's just as bad not to say it. Excuse me? Dr. Sam Keen, he says, hey, if you cut the population by 90%, there's not enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. And, of course, our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. We're talking about the population control agenda. Not imaginary, but there really are people who want to kill off the majority of the population. If you haven't read, because my material on this, we have a great deal on our website at radioliberty.com. You can get our population control agenda monograph and get some of these incredible quotations, or you can simply go to Elberton, Georgia, or go to our website and see the great occult monument there that calls for maintaining the world population at 500 million in balance with nature. And What they're doing is talking about killing off, you know, 95% or 93% of the world's population, but they don't want you common people to understand what they really have in mind. Well, right now, before we go on, Pastor, would you like to go ahead and get your website out there so people would, if they want to get more information on your ministry there at the Niagara Frontier Bible Church, they can?
Yeah, sure. Our main website is NiagaraFrontierBible.com, 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 or you can just Google my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N as in Nancy, E, Billy Crone, just Google that, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. And, Chris, we do carry the Final Countdown DVDs. We think they're excellent, and we carry a number of other things, and we'll be carrying more. I think we carry six right now of things that Pastor Crone has done, because you really need to almost see these videos to understand what this is all about. One of my favorite ones, second only to the Final Countdown, is the RFID identification. And when you see the videos were put out by the people who are pushing RFID, I mean, it defies the imagination. But you go ahead and pick up this story, Pastor.
Oh, I'd love to touch that. Believe you me, but I'll never get through the rest of this material.
we'll do that some another series when we get through the Final Countdown. We've still got one or two more to go, so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, back on this issue, you might think that's pretty ludicrous. How in the world are they going to annihilate 90% of the population? Well, I think there's a couple different techniques that they're either currently using or going to be using on us. One, they might decide to put some stuff in your water. Two, maybe they're going to pull the plug on you. Or three, maybe they're going to put stuff in your food. Well, that's pretty ludicrous. I mean, they're not going to put stuff in your water, are you? Well, folks, this is please check this out for yourself. They're already finding drugs in our drinking water. Okay? Listen to this. A vast array of pharmaceuticals, including antibiotics, anticonvulsants, mood stabilizer, and sex hormones, have been found in drinking water supplies of at least 41 million Americans. And so the question was, well, how do they get into people's water? Well, they say that, well, you know, people take pills and it goes through their body and basically they go to the restroom and it goes into the water supply. But there's so much in there, they're going, well, maybe it's also people are not using their pharmaceuticals and they're just throwing them down the toilet. Well, maybe that's it. But all I do know is it's pretty interesting what they're finding. This is a secular report. This is from USA Today, by the way, folks. They tested in Philadelphia. They discovered 56 different pharmaceuticals in the water, and with such pharmaceuticals such as for treating mental illness. Anti-anxiety medications were detected in a portion of drinking water for 18.5 million people in Southern California. In New Jersey, in the drinking water, they found mood-stabilizing drugs in the drinking water. In San Francisco's drinking water, they found a sex hormone. In the New York State Health Department, they tested the water there. They found traces of mood stabilizers and tranquilizers. They're like, wait a second, is that just a coinkydink or something? Well, folks, do the history test yourself. The Germans and the Russians used fluoride in prisoners' water to make them stupid and docile. And, of course, I'm sure they're not going to press for fluoride in our drinking water. And, of course, I'm being sarcastic. And you might think, hey, that's really whacked out. Nobody's going to deliberately do that. Maybe it is just an accident. Maybe it's just people that's going through their systems. They wouldn't deliberately put this stuff in our water. Well, folks, I just had this email to me not too long ago, one of our listeners in Holland. And right now in Holland, they're proposing to put antidepressants in their drinking water. The town is called Groninger, G-R-O-N-I-G-E-R. And they're considering, as of June 1st of this year, to start the trial of adding a low dose of antidepressants in the drinking water. Now, that is being done on purpose, so I don't think that's too far of a cry. But maybe they're not just going to put stuff in your water. Maybe they're just going to flat out pull the plug on you, i.e. get to dictate who gets to live and who doesn't. You think it's ludicrous. We talked before, Dr. Monteith, that this whole Dr. Kevorkian issue was just a setup to get to the ultimate control, to give the government the authority to do just that, who gets to live and who doesn't. California has approved a nurse-assisted suicide, allowing nurses now, not just even a doctor, as if it's right for a nurse or a doctor, it's not, but allowing nurses to sedate, dehydrate, and starve depressed or confused individuals that they can deem as terminally ill. In fact, depressed patients who succumb to this will be drugged unconscious and die from dehydration, usually from within 10 days. Assemblymen warned that the bill had no protections for patients, direct quote here, who could be mistakenly diagnosed as terminally ill, but would have many, many full years left alive. But maybe you think that's just wacky California. No, it's we got a green light in Washington after following, of course, Oregon. And there they're allowing doctors to order lethal drug overdoses to people with life-limiting illnesses. Here's the phrase again, even if they are depressed. And it has no requirement for a witness to create the opportunity, quote, for an air or stressed-out caregiver to administer the lethal overdose of a patient without their consent. That's a direct quote.
We know even more frightening is the what is being considered today by the Obama administration, this national health care where everybody will have health care, and there'll be a committee that'll decide who gets what treatment. It won't be up to the doctor. There'll be a committee, and certainly they're already talking about the shortage of funds. We have to be, you know, rational as far as the funds are concerned, and the older people, you know, the expensive treatment we spend so much on their care, and basically it is planned already. You go up on the internet and check it out. They're talking about rationing or denying elderly people of access to care because, after all, they're really non-productive. Sort of the idea that they had in Hitler's Germany of the useless eaters and get rid of the useless eaters. Could that happen in America? Ladies and gentlemen, the American people voted for a man who is suggesting universal health care, and one of the first things they're doing is setting up committees to determine how we can ration access to health care. People say it couldn't happen. Of course it's happening. And where is the outcry? Where is the outcry from the medical profession? Well, if they object, why, they're going to lose their salaries, their pensions. Everybody's going to be employed by the government and the health care. And you better toe the line. In fact, we even recently passed legislation where if you are a health care personnel and you don't believe in abortion, you no longer have a right to say, I object to it. They've removed that protection for you. So it's either you go along with the agenda or you lose your job, you lose your pension, you lose your health care, you lose everything. What do you think the average American's going to do when faced with that alternative? Go right ahead.
Well, exactly, and this sounds absolutely ludicrous and almost, frankly, insanely unbelievable. Unless you understand that the scripture talked about this kind of a satanic society that would arise on the scene. Remember, the heart of this Antichrist system is the heart of a murderer, Satan himself. Okay, because it makes no sense. You can think, surely people can't be that cruel. But you need to understand the one who's behind this regime, folks, is Satan himself. The scripture is clear. He's a murderer, and he's been one from the beginning. And when he gets authority on the planet, through the Antichrist, you better look out. And that's exactly what's going on. None of this will make sense unless you understand from the biblical sense what's going on. God forewarned this, folks. 2,000 years ago, it's time to wake up. Now, speaking of that, I fully agree with you, Dr. Monteith, with this whole push for a universal health care system, because that's, again, you're going to have a government decide who gets to live and who doesn't. In fact, it's already being promoted. In fact, it's being as an honorable thing. Recently, there was this Mary Warnock, she's a baroness, a British philosopher. She said that people who suffer from Alzheimer's have a duty to die. Is what the article says. It said elderly people suffering from dementia should consider ending their lives. Why? Because they're a burden to the national health care system and their families. Well, wow, it's just going to become dollars and cents, isn't it? You're just going to become, you know, just something to just get rid of and discard. And she said that the people, they're wasting people's lives and the care that they require, you know, it's just wasted. And that people, she hoped, listen, this is a direct quote, she hoped that people will soon be, quote, licensed to put others down, treating you just like a dog. But that's not all. You might only put something in your drinking water. They might decide to pull the plug on you. Hey, folks, they might decide to control your food, and then you're going to die. You can go without water for a while, but you can't go without food, okay? And the first step they're getting used to having governmental control over our food supply, folks, okay, is they're tricking us into we need some sort of government entity to fix all these crises. I mean, of course, we had the even here in New York, there's been a ban on trans fats in restaurants. And, you know, how about if you just walk in a restaurant and if they serve that, you say, no, thank you. Why do I have to have some government tell me to do that? But it makes no sense, folks, unless you understand the plan. Also, speaking of here in New York, the governor right now is planning a what's called the obesity tax. On certain food products. And right now, people are losing their jobs. See, you think, well, let's forget, I'll just won't go along with it. Well, you're losing your job. People are right now, folks, all across America and Canada are losing your job if you smoke or you eat junk food, if you got high blood pressure, if you're obese or what they consider obese, if you've got a bad cholesterol level. And then that's again, getting people used to some government control in our food supply. Well, again, if you haven't been paying attention, you speak about Obama. He is right now with these latest outbreaks of you know, salmonella and the tomatoes from last year, and of course the dreaded beans from this year, those peanuts. That they are proposing some government entity to take control of the food supply to guarantee our safety. It's nothing about guaranteeing safety. It's guaranteeing our food supply, folks. Right now, they're trying to pass what's called the Food Safety Modernization Act. Check it out yourself. It's House Resolution 875, and it calls for the creation of the FSA, much like the FDA for the medical world. This is the Food Safety Administration, and it will mandate property seizure, fines up to $1 million per offense. And if you don't apply with their recommendations. The second thing you need to check out is the Senate Bill number 425, and that's the Food Safety and Tracking Improvement, and that's being done by the GMOs. And they said that we must ensure the federal government has the ability and authority to protect the public, given the global nature of this food supply. And they are going to track the food, folks, all the way down to what ingredients were used when it was grown, how it was prepared, handled, manufactured, processed, distributed, shipped, warehoused, imported, and all under the guise of keeping our food supply safe. One guy had said, if the Postal Service can track my package from my office in Washington to my office in Cincinnati, we should be able to do the same for food products. He said families that are struggling with the high cost of groceries should not also have to worry about the safety of their food.
Well, do you really want the people who supervise, flood there, the Katrina flood in New Orleans, being responsible for your health or for your food? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, they were in there. They were actually forcing people out of their homes. They were taking away their weapons. People who were in no danger at all and on high ground, they were still forcing them out of their homes and into crowded areas. Why would you want to trust people who are that incompetent, or maybe they weren't that incompetent? They were keeping help away so that people were actually dying. They couldn't get help. People wanted to come and help. They wouldn't let them help. And you're going to entrust them with your health and with your food safety? I mean, you really have to understand that there are people who have a different agenda. And who do, because I believe many of them, of course, worship a different God. But you go right ahead.
Well, again, it makes no sense until you understand the game plan. And again, the irony, the unfortunate irony, the game plan's been exposed, folks, for 2,000 years. It's just people won't pick up the Bible and read it for themselves. And again, this is our heart cry. We're trying to get this information out with the Final Countdown. And again, it's not just quoting Scripture as if that was bad. And it's not just, hey, here's somebody quoting somebody, 14 second hand or something. No, folks, you will see the actual videos with your own eyes, and you make up your own mind. Okay, now, you're not only getting people, we're getting used to having some government entity look over our food supply, but we are also being prepared, folks, for a government entity to distributing our food supply. Now, we talked about this a couple times ago, Dr. Monteith, and I want to revisit it real quickly because it fits with this, is that Doomsday Seed Vault that Bill Gates and the Rockefellers and other GMO giants are building in the Arctic, okay? And their press release that stated that the reason why they're doing this is that so that crop diversity can be conserved for the future, okay? But the reality is food, folks, you need to understand, is much more important than fuel. Everybody's worried about the oil and the economy, okay? But whoever controls the global food system has the ultimate power, even economic power. And I shared that quote before. I'll read it again. Duane Andreas says this. He's the chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. He says, quote, "The food business is far and away the most important business in the world. Everything else is a luxury. Food is what you need to sustain everyday life. Food is fuel. You can't run a tractor without fuel, listen to this, and you can't run a human being without it either. Food is the absolute beginning." Now, what's really interesting, we know that somebody, this Antichrist system, has to grab control of the food supply, because one of the seal judgments in the book of Revelation chapter 6 is the third seal, and it's going to get at the famine condition so bad that a quart of wheat, you will be able to get a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and you'll get 3 quarts of barley, which is like cattle food, for a day's wages, okay? And don't damage the oil of the wine. So in order for that to come to pass, it's not just there's going to be a global famine, it's going to be pretty bad, but somebody has to have global control of the food supply in order to dole it out, a wheat or barley. That's the significance, and that's what these people are working towards. But there's something, I would say, sinister going on once you start doing the homework with this seed bank thing that's going on. Because when you take a look at the Rockefeller Foundation, they are got their hands tied since the 20s and however long in the eugenics program. Of course, much of it's now called genetics. And you know, way back then when wanting to genetically engineer a master race, and of course that brings up visions of Hitler and the Aryan master race. And the eugenics of Hitler was financed to a major extent by the same Rockefeller Foundation folks, which today is building this doomsday seed vault. Okay, now that's pretty sneaky. And then this project is going to be run by an organization called the Global Crop Diversity Trust, and that's based out of Rome, of all places. That's kind of interesting. And when it comes to eugenics, folks, that it has been funded by people like Rockefeller and the Carnegie, okay, this, again, is where Margaret Sanger came in, who had connections with the Rockefellers and Planned Parenthood. And she went on, she created something, folks, do the research yourself, called the Negro Project in 1939, based out of Harlem. And she confided to a friend in a letter, and quote, the reason why she was doing that was to exterminate the Negro population. Now, fast forward to the year 2001, a small California biotech company called Epicyte, okay, announced that they developed a genetically engineered corn which contained a spermicide, which made the semen of men who ate it sterile. Okay, now, at the time, Epicyte had a joint venture agreement to spread this technology with DuPont and Syngenta. That's two of the sponsors, folks, of this doomsday seed vault. And then in the 1990s, the UN's World Health Organization launched a campaign to vaccinate millions of women in Nicaragua and Mexico and the Philippines between the ages of 15 and 45, allegedly against tetanus. You know, if you step on a rusty nail or whatever, I guess that's a big giant concern. I think there was more going on. First of all, they didn't give them to men or boys, as if they couldn't step on the nails either. And then an organization became suspicious, and they had that vaccine sample tested. And once they did, they realized that that supposed tetanus sample had something else in it. It had something that rendered the woman incapable of maintaining a pregnancy, folks.
Yeah, Corey Goodhead at Trophin, in fact, I remember talking to one of the leading vaccinologists in the world, and we were doing real well on the interview until I mentioned that, and he immediately hung up on me. They do not want people, the average common people, to know that they're planning on exterminating a large part of the world population. In fact, the Rockefellers and Bill Gates are deeply involved in population control. So why are they saving those seeds? What do they know that the rest of us don't? Well, Pastor Crone, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, boy, that's exciting. Hey, I just want to read you a little story, and I think this encapsulates, folks, what is happening. The fence has been built around us slowly but surely, and they're waiting. I think they're getting close to putting the final one in. It's called How to Catch Wild Pigs, and it goes like this. There was a chemistry professor in a large college that had some exchange students, okay, in the class. And one day, while the class was in the lab, the professor noticed a young man, an exchange student, who kept rubbing the back of his neck and his back as if it hurt. Well, the professor asked the young man what was the matter, and the student told him that he had a bullet lodged in his back. He had been shot while fighting communists in his native country who were trying to overthrow his country's government to install a new communist regime. Now, in the midst of this story, he looked at the professor and he asked a strange question. He said, "Professor, do you know how to catch wild pigs?" And the professor thought it was a joke, and he asked for the punchline. And the young man said, "No, it's not a joke." He says, "Here's what you do." He says, "You catch wild pigs by finding a suitable place in the woods, and you put corn on the ground. And soon the pigs find it, and begin to come every day to eat the free corn. Now, when they're used to coming every day, while they're eating that corn, you put a fence on one side of the place where they're used to coming. And then after a while, when they get used to that fence there, they begin to eat the corn again, and, well, you put up the other side of the fence. And pretty soon they get used to that fence, and they simply start eating the corn again. Well, then you continue this procedure until you have all four sides of the fence up with a gate in the last side. And the next thing you know, the pigs, which are used to the free corn, they come in one last time through the gate, and they eat that free corn again. But now you slam the gate on them, and you catch the whole herd. Suddenly the pigs have lost their freedoms. They run around, and they scream, and they make noise around inside the fence, but it's too late. The trap has been set. They're caught. But then a strange thing begins to happen. Soon these once wild and free pigs simply go back to eating the free corn, and they're so used to it that they've forgotten how to forage in the woods for themselves, and so they accept their captivity. And the young man told the professor that is exactly what he sees happening in America, and we better wake up.
In fact, the story as I heard it, the man said, you know, I can cage any animal in the world that'll first let himself become dependent upon me. And that's exactly what is happening in the United States. And we have a president who's going to offer us free medical care. Free medical care. And they're going to offer us, of course, free education. Everything is going to be free. They're going to provide everything that we need, except, of course, for freedom. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you so much for being with us, and we're really look forward to having you back again real soon as we go through this whole litany, this whole list of the final countdown, because we're getting, I believe, not only close to the end of your talk, but to the end of the fulfillment of ancient prophecies. Bye-bye. God bless. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you've enjoyed our session with Pastor Billy Crone. We don't take any callers when he's here because he has so much to say and it's well organized. And if you haven't seen his tape set, it's at 10 DVDs, there's 5 in each part 1, 5 in part 2. Why we carry them here, you get one or you get both of them together to reduce cost. We actually have put onto CD these stories. We call it the Countdown to Armageddon, and we have part 1 available, and as soon as we have part 2 available, we'll have it available, and certainly you'll certainly want to watch it and see the DVDs, but you probably or may you want to listen to it in your car as well, because there's a great deal of wisdom here, and of course Pastor Billy is a very young man, but he's very wise, because fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And if you understand the Bible, why, of course, you can be very, very wise. And this is really what it's all about. People talk, and today everybody's got, suddenly an understanding of what's going on. They want to tell their opinion. But if you go back to the Bible, and you'll find the message there, it's been around for thousands of years, but this is the first time in all history where we had an opportunity to move towards the fulfillment of that ancient dream, that ancient plan, for the one world order, for the one world government, for the one world religion. Remember, 120 years ago, the major means of communication was still the horse, as it had been back in the time when our Savior walked here on earth. I mean, you know, it was 75 years ago, if you had talked about the internet, about the things we have now, sending a man to the moon and having a space station, people would think you were crazy. But of course, technology is increasing very rapidly. And you're going to have to understand it, but you can understand it best by watching the final countdown, part 1, part 2. Now we also carry the programs on creation. That's a 10-part program that Pastor Crone has put out. A one on RFID. There's only 4 in that, but it's very important because, of course, they want to chip everything. The legislation now, every cow has to be chipped. You notice that thing on the ears of the cows? You see a picture of a cow now. They've got a tag on the ear. It's got an RFID chip. They want everything chipped, ladies and gentlemen. They want to watch everything. Why do you think that they put those satellites up in the sky to watch the Russians? No, they're watching the American people. Why are they putting video cameras up? Oh, that's against the bad guys. No, it's to watch you. Why do you think that, Chris, that they want everybody to carry an ID card? Why do you think that they have refurbished these Japanese concentration camps? You know, they were used for World War II Japanese American citizens. Oh, they say, that's so people will never forget how terrible it was to put American citizens in concentration camps. Well, if that's true, why did they give $385 million to Kellogg, Brown, and Root to build new concentration camps? You need to get our talk on the planned police state, and you need to get the syllabus goes with that. You need to get our material on concentration camps. They're not imaginary. They're real. And, of course, you can find out even where some of them are. There's one right out just north of Las Vegas, just waiting to be used. Why could this couldn't happen in America? Why couldn't it happen? As Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And, of course, we're seeing the destruction of the economy of this nation, not by accident, not just happening, not by stupidity, but it's all planned. You get my material on this, and we're putting together a talk now just to tell you exactly how they've done it. But you need to get our material. We've got a great book written in 1889 called The Coming Battle, written by a lawyer about how the banks were eventually going to take over control of our nation. They have. But we're told they're too big to fail. We've just got to keep funneling massive amounts of money, and we're going to bankrupt our nation. And, of course, we're going to destroy our currency, impoverish our people. The book, The Money Creators, might talk on the financial tsunami. It's 3 years old, but it's just as apropos now as it was when I gave it. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, are pamphlets on the history of money and the financial meltdown. They're all available. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack from within today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano today announced a crackdown along the U.S.-Mexico border to combat growing drug-related violence. She said there will be twice as many law enforcement officers stationed.